Planet Shakers. I'm so glad that you're joining us for our message today. I'm going to be speaking on Let Me Tell You About It, based on one of our Planet Boom songs. It is the simplicity and power of knowing who our God is, not just knowing about Him, but knowing who He is for ourselves. Well, I want to preach to you on a really, really simple thought. We're going to jump straight into it. It's really simple, straightforward, but complex all at the same time. I want to preach to you today on the subject, Let Me Tell You About It. Wait. We're preaching on the subject, Let Me Tell You About It. Now, if you're watching online and you're wondering what that noise was, it also happens to be a song. Would it help you to just get it out of your system just to do the first verse? I feel like it would. Not the band, just that. Go again. Just you, though. This is just you. This is just you. What? Okay. That's right. Okay. Whoa. So there's a name. That's right. Cut the track, cut the track. Singing, kinging. All right. That's right. Yeah, some of you have to sing the drop as well. All right, that's all right. Take your seats. It is one of our songs here in Planet Shakers, but I felt to preach on this because there's a thought behind that song. See, you might not realize, but actually when we were writing that song in Planet Boom, you know what we actually did? We wrote down as many things as we could find in the Bible about what the Bible says God is. He is this. He is this. This is His name. This is what the Bible... We wrote all of these things down, and then we tried to fit as many of those lines as we could into one song with maybe a touch of creative license just to make it fit. But I think there's something powerful about just declaring who our God is. There's something powerful about knowing who God is. Something more powerful about knowing Him than just knowing about Him, right? Something more powerful about knowing Him than just even knowing about what He does. Knowing what He does is powerful. But I'm so glad that we're part of a church here in Planet Shakers. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad for Pastor Russell and Sam that are constantly urging us, challenging us, pushing us to know God for ourselves. In Planet Shakers, we want to raise the next generation. That's why we're celebrating our year 12s, because we want to raise the next generation to know God for themselves, not just to know what a previous generation says about Him, not to just know Him by some stories in history, but to know God for themselves. Is there anybody here in our 3:30 service that really wants to know God, not just know about Him? So let me tell you about Him. See, I believe that to know Him is to love Him. I've discovered this, it's not like I've been preaching for years and years and years and years, but in even talking to our Planet Boom students every Friday night, I've noticed this. See, I love preaching about what we should do in our response to God. I love talking about how we should praise, how we should worship, how we should prioritize Him in, you know, in the house of God. And all of those things are true, but I've noticed this. I can either spend my time talking about what we should do, or I could preach about who He is, and all of a sudden our response and what we should do comes a lot more naturally, because there's something in our hearts that innately responds to who He is, because A, who He is so amazing, but B, we were actually made to respond to God. So we could either teach a generation how they should worship, or we could teach a generation who God is and watch as their hearts start falling in love with Him. To know Him is to love Him. And by the way, He is who He is. It is what it is. He is who He is. And He doesn't change. He doesn't change according to popular opinion or the latest polls. Praise God for that. He doesn't change according to what the economy is doing. He doesn't change according to what, you know, the atmosphere or the culture is like. God doesn't change according to the seasons. God doesn't change according to manipulation. How many are glad about that? It doesn't matter what you might want Him to be, what you think He should be. God is who He is. And He always was who He always was. And He always will be who He always. That's why Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is who He is. And He doesn't change. But here's the thing. Who do you think that He is? Because here's what I've discovered. You and I actually live out of our perception of who we think God is. Jesus actually asked His disciples this question. I think it was in Matthew chapter 16. He asked His disciples and he said, who do people say that I am? And they discussed it for a while. And then He said, okay, but who do you say that I am? Obviously, we understand Jesus wasn't struggling with His identity. Jesus, it's not that He couldn't remember who He was. Jesus knew exactly who He was. It's kind of like when your maths teacher asks you a question and you're like, you already know the answer. The maths teacher is not asking you because they can't remember the answer. Their question is trying to prompt to find out what you think the answer is. Jesus is trying to find out, who do you think that I am? Because it doesn't make any difference to Him who you think it is, but it makes a huge difference to you who you think He is. Because you and I live out of our perception of who we think He is. It will change the way you pray. It will change the way you praise. It will change the way you worship. It will change your priorities in life. It will change the way you spend your time and your money. It will change what you think about your future and the way you think about your past. But what you think about God and who you think He is matters for your eternity, and it matters for your today. So who is God to you? I want you to think about that for a second. And matter of fact, right now, since we jumped into it, Holy Spirit, we welcome You into this place. We've been worshiping, we've been focused on Your presence, but right now around the preaching of the Word, I invite You right now, because it's You, Holy Spirit, that really reveals who Jesus is to us, that really takes the scales off our eyes and the veil off our heart. And I ask right now across this place, in fact, I declare across this place right now, no matter what way people walked in and what state of their heart was when they walked into this place, or what people are like watching right now, I declare, as we're listening to Your Word today, I declare that veil be removed off our heart. I declare those scales to be removed off our eyes, so that we might really see who You are, that we might really know by our own understanding and experience. So who is He? Let me tell you about Him. First thing we got to understand about God, I've been thinking about this lately and it's been blowing my mind again. Now, before I say this, let me just disclaimer, this might be simple. This might be basic Christianity. To some of us that have been Christians for a little while, this might be facts already to you. But see, I know that there's a great difference between knowing things about God and knowing things about God. I know a lot of Christians that know a lot of things about God, but I can tell by the way that they live and the way that they worship, they don't still know a thing about who my God is. You can know a lot of facts about Him, but you might not know those truths in your own life. We kind of say these things in boom, oh, facts, straight facts. Or we say, oh, true. There's a difference between facts and truth. There are things you know that you're supposed to believe, and there are things that you know you do believe. There are things that have been true to you because when you needed them to be true in your life, they were. What I'm trying to say is, you might know that He's a healer. You might believe it. You might say, yep, I understand that to be true. But let me tell you right now, it's not until you're facing a diagnosis that no doctor can heal and no medicine can answer. It's not until you're in that situation that you need that truth about God to be more than just a fact that you know you're supposed to believe. You need it to be a truth in your own life. God, I can't have this. It's just something I'm supposed to understand with my head. This has got to be truth in my own life. Psalm 34 verse 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's actually talking about knowing by experience. God wants you and I to know Him by experience. Yes, for our experience to be based off what the Word of God says, but the Word of God to be more than just words written on a piece of paper. The Word of God, it's not confined to things that are stuck on a piece of paper. It's supposed to come alive to us in our experience, in our everyday life. It's supposed to actually change your circumstances. The truths about who He is are supposed to actually stir your heart. They're supposed to actually answer impossibilities in your life and say, that may be what the facts are, but here's the truth about who your God is. I've discovered that plenty of times in my life, I've had to speak to myself and I've had to almost look my own heart in the eye. I don't even know how you do that. I've had to look myself in the heart and I've had to say, let me tell you about Him. I've had to look my problems in the eye and say, let me tell you about Him. I've had to look some mountains in the eye and say, let me tell you about Him. Because it does not make any difference about telling you about yourself. It makes no difference me telling my mountains about how big they are. It makes no difference telling my problems about who I am. But it makes a heck of a lot of difference for me to tell them and remind myself and remind the enemy and remind anybody around me who my God is, who He really is in my life. So let me tell you about it. He's a Trinity. Three. In one. Our God is three in one. Our God is three in one. He's not 33.3% recurring each. He's 100% each all at the same time. No. It doesn't really make sense to your understanding. If you're trying to put that together and think, well, that's not what I was taught in mathematics. That doesn't even make... I'm so glad that God is not confined to my understanding. I'm so glad that the God that you and I serve is not confined to my intellect. Because if that was the case, He would have to shrink Himself down to a very miniature size to be able to fit within my brain. I'm so glad that He's able to say, no, there are no other examples of this. There are no relevant metaphors for this. There are no other things that you can point to and say, it's a little bit like that. There is nothing like that. There is nothing like Him. He is who He says He is, and He is all three at one time, all of the time, three in one. I don't get to know God through my intellect. I don't get to come to understand Him through my own smartness. I'm so glad for that. I'm so glad that understanding God and knowing God is not reserved for those, that small percentage of us in the room that have a super, super, super high IQ. You know, God does not reserve Himself for those that stand above the rest and say, well, I understand things you don't. I don't come to know God through my intellect. I come to know Him through my faith. And you've got faith. In fact, I can see and feel faith stirring in the room just as we talk about who He is, because faith responds to who God is. You've got faith so you can know Him, not by your understanding or your intellect, but by your faith. Now, listen to this as a side. Faith doesn't mean that I can't understand or I won't understand. Faith means I don't wait to understand before I believe. Logic says I need to understand first before I make a decision as to whether I'll believe. Faith says, no, I believe who He says He is. And my understanding is going to be built around what I've chosen to believe. Because I believe, now I begin to understand. Because I recognize I have faith in Him, all of a sudden there is no limit to what I can now walk into understanding, because it's not based of what my mind can put together and say, well, this makes sense to me. And I guess this... Faith. He's a Trinity. And by the way, He's three in one and there is no other. Deuteronomy 6:4, I think it is, says, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Isaiah 40, verse 25, to whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Ask the Holy One. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what problems seem to be in your life. And I don't know how insurmountable or intimidating they seem. But I'm telling you right now, they are not God. I don't know what the atmosphere in your school is like, but it's not God. I don't know what medical condition you're facing, but I'm telling you that diagnosis is not God. I don't know what financial challenge you're facing, but the finances in your life and the circumstances surrounding it, they are not God. No matter what seems to impose itself or try and puff itself up or lift itself up in your life, you and I have to come to begin to understand that those things are not God, because He is one and there is no other. Oh, somebody praise Him. If you're coming to understand, my circumstances are not God, people's opinions are not God. Come on, Planet Shakers, I think there ought to be another level of praise here in this place. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father, of all the things He could have chosen to reveal Himself as, He chose Father. It could have been distant cosmic figure. But for real though, He's everywhere at once. It could have been righteous judge, and He is. But what He calls Himself is Father. And not only that, but Jesus, when He prayed the Lord's Prayer, He said, "Our Father." So He's not just the Father, He's our Father. And it actually gets more personal than that, because in Romans 8, the Holy Spirit teaches us to pray as if He is Dad. So He's not just the Father, the Holy Spirit teaches us to pray to my Father, your Father. God wants to teach us who He is, and the first thing He chooses to reveal Himself as is, "I want you to know me as Dad." Now that's either really good news, or that's hard to grasp. Depending on what your experiences of a dad might have been like in your own life, for some of us, all kinds of things begin to stir in our imagination of, wow, I know what dad's like. But for others of us, all kinds of other things begin to stir in our imagination. A dad? Really? Because my dad left. Really? Because my dad abused me. Really? I don't even know who my dad is. Is that what God is like? He's distant. He wants to disappear the moment I need Him. Now, I wish I could answer those things for you. You've got to understand, fatherlessness and neglect and abuse at the hand of our fathers is a huge issue in the next generation, and in fact every generation, but I think a major, major issue in the next generation. And I could not hope to fill the hole that that leaves in people's hearts, but I know the one that can, and His presence is here right now. Can I encourage you right now to not allow your earthly experience to hold back your imagination from understanding who He is? It's a kind of a side point, and it just came to mind, but I hated cake growing up. I hated birthday cakes. What kid hates birthday cakes? Me, this kid. It wasn't always that way, but when I was 7 years old, I was at a friend's birthday party. Everything you imagine it to be, it was. Complete with that giant slide that you pretended you weren't scared of, but you were, and it made your hair go static. You know what I'm saying? Amazing. And me and this cake met eye to eye, and I was in love. It had a whole lot of icing. It was chocolate. It had candy all over the top of it, and I was ready for that, and they handed it to everybody else first. You know what I'm saying? Finally, I got my little piece on a little paper plate that's actually quite hard to hold in the wind. You know what I'm saying? Anyways. I was so disappointed when I bit into that thing and it was old and stale. Yeah. I decided in that moment, I don't like birthday cakes. And even at my own birthday following that year, I didn't want that. Everybody else can eat it, but I don't want it. And other people's birthdays, I didn't want it. What was happening there? I was allowing my previous experience to determine my expectation. I was choosing not to experience something based on what I had experienced in the past, because what stirred in my imagination was what I'd experienced already. That's exactly what some of us do when it comes to God. We think we know by our own experience that we know what a dad is like. And so we withhold ourselves and reserve ourselves and say, well, I don't want anything. If that's what He's like, I don't want that. But you got to understand that you are choosing to limit the possibilities of who God could be based on your experience of something that is entirely earthly and faulty, by the way. You could have the best earthly father, which I'm coming to understand that I think I did have. I still do. He's alive. But growing up. I mean, my dad was amazing. And yet it doesn't matter how great our dad, none of them can compare to the kind of father he is. Can you allow the Holy Spirit right now to say, what are some of the, to ask you the question, what are some of the lies maybe I've believed about? When you go to worship, who is it that you're worshiping? When you pray, who are you praying to? What's the God that you imagine? No, God's not limited to your imagination. No, God doesn't live in your imagination, but he sure can stir it. Can I show you who he is? The Bible says so many things about who your father is. I don't have time to go through all of them, but he's a provider. Hey, as we look at this, by the way, this is the word of God. So why not allow the truth to replace some lies? Don't worry, we're not going to look each one of these verses up. The team asked me, do you have any scriptures? I said, yeah. He's a provider, Genesis 22 and 14, Philippians 4, 19. I mean, just look it up. He knows your every need, physical, emotional, everything. Sometimes he uses other people to provide. Sometimes he just supernaturally intervenes. But the truth is your father, your dad, he is a provider. You can't get him to try and be, he is. Not if you remember that he should, no, he already was before you remember that he should be. He's a protector, Psalm 91. Listen, I'll read you this one just because you're lucky. Here it goes. This I declare about the Lord. We don't believe in luck, you're blessed. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God and I trust in him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. That's who your dad is. He's good. Psalm 34 verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's not who you want him to be, it's who he is. It's not based on you holding him accountable to being so. He was before you knew he was. Let's just read it out. He's provider, protector, good, generous, powerful, eternal, everlasting, infinite, unchanging, omniscient, omnipresent, unlimited, almighty, majestic, glorious, exalted, great, the Most High God. He's mighty, he's righteous, he's holy, he's sovereign, he's creator, he's shelter, he's a strong tower, he's refuge, he's fortress, he's rock, he's our rock, he's ever present, he never gets tired, he never gets weary, his understanding has no limit, he gives strength to the weary, he gives wisdom, he is close to you, he's for you, not against you, he will never leave you nor forsake you, he's a God who rewards, and he is your very great reward. He's a mighty warrior. He's a God who raises the dead. He's a God who calls things that are not as if they were. He does not lie. He is love. He is patient. He is kind. He's not jealous or proud or rude. He will not dishonor you. He's not easily angered. God, I'm so grateful that you're not, because I would have made you pretty angry. But you're not easily angered. You keep no record of wrongs. Where would I be if you did? You do not delight in evil, but you rejoice with the truth. You're slow to anger, but abounding in love. You're compassionate and gracious, and he never fails. That's just who the Father is, by the way. What about the Son? Well, everything the Father is, the Son is. So he's all of that. Jesus actually said, I came to reveal the Father. He said to his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen him. The Bible says, I think in Colossians or maybe Hebrews, it says he's the visible image of the invisible God. He's the perfect representation of everything God is. That's who Jesus is. But you know, as I was thinking about it, you know something that I love about who he says he is? He's our brother. So God chose to reveal himself as Father, and then he chose to send himself as a man and reveal himself as our brother. What does that make him? It makes him incredibly relatable. What I'm trying to tell you is there has never been anything you've gone through that he doesn't understand. Come on, Holy Spirit, help us get this. This is not wishful thinking. This is who he is. There's never been a temptation you faced, young person, that you're Jesus. See, there's so many people imagine that he's standing at a distance going, well, I'm not like that. I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have found myself in that situation. And you're right. He may not have responded the way that you responded, but he knows exactly what it's like to face what you're facing, because the Bible tells us exactly that. Every trial and every test that you and I have faced, Jesus faced it as well. So that when we're in the midst of those things, we don't relate to a God who cannot relate to us. We relate to a brother who's been through exactly what we've been through and able to go, listen, I was victorious over it. And I didn't just face it when I faced it carrying your weakness on myself. So I understand exactly the way that you're feeling, exactly what you're going through right now. Your parents might not understand you. Your other friends might not understand you. The rest of your family might have left you, but Jesus understands. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, it says this, there was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance. Nothing to attract us to him. He's despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. If you've ever been through grief, guess who was acquainted with the same grief? Jesus. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we didn't care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. If you're going through sorrow, I'm conscious at Christmas time, it's the happiest time of year, and yet so many people feel so down at this time of year. You know who can be the closest to you in this season right now? The one who it's all about anyway. He's not a God hidden in presence under a tree, under pretension of things that we think that Christmas is about. He's a God that wants to meet you right in the middle of what you're going through. Can I tell you the times that I felt Jesus the closest are in the times that I did not know how else to get through what I was going through. It's in those moments that no one else spoke my language. But there's no language he doesn't speak. So who is he? He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's a name above all names. He's Alpha and Omega, the first and last. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's victorious. He's the final authority. He's over all things. He's before all things, and he holds all things together. He's supreme. He's the head of his church. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he has overcome the world. He's Savior, Messiah, Deliverer, Redeemer, Teacher, Healer, Justifier, Mediator, Resurrection and Life, and Freedom. He's Prince of Peace. He's Wonderful Counselor. He's our Great Shepherd. He's the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Bread of Life. He's the Bright and Morning Star. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the Fairest of 10,000, the Light of the World, Emmanuel. And he's worthy, faithful, and true. But then there's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said about the Holy Spirit as he was introducing him like a good friend to his disciples. He said, I'm about to go. John 14 and 16, he said, I'm about to go, but I'm going to leave someone who's just like me. So if you want to know what God the Father is like, look at Jesus, because you're going to find out. If you want to know who the Holy Spirit is like, look at Jesus as well, because he's going to give you a good understanding of what God is like. The Holy Spirit is not paranormal activity, spooky, weird, reserved for over emotional people. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is the very presence of Jesus unlimited here in this place. In fact, Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, it's better for you that I go. Why? Because if I'm here, I'm limited to this body. But if I send the Holy Spirit, he is just like me, but not limited to an earthly form. He can be with all of you at once, with all of my unlimited power, because he is God. And he'll be with you forever, Jesus said. Holy Spirit, he introduces himself as our best friend. So who's the Holy Spirit? He is friend. He's comforter, counselor, encourager, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby. He's closer than any other friend you think you need to turn to or rely on or lean on. You ought to get to know the Holy Spirit. Because he's powerful. He's the Spirit of truth. He's with us forever. He's the rivers of living water. He's the great consuming fire, and He's greater than any spirit that's in the world. He is the Spirit of adoption and sonship. He's the deposit of what's to come and the guarantee of our inheritance. He's a Spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. He's the new wine, and He's like wind, and He's like oil, and He's like rain, and He's like fire, and He's like a dove, and He is the breath of God. It's like He's hard to put into words, but He is who He is. Something happens when we just talk about who He is. Awesome. I pray that word blessed you. And I want to encourage you, why not spend some time this week to get to know God for yourself, get to know Him even deeper. Hey, if you've got any prayer requests or testimonies, why not contact us? The details are on the screen. And follow us on all social media platforms at Planet Shakers. Have an incredible week. We love you.